Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Edit out my voice, and there's
just that
mindless
a robot voice over the top of it.
Yeah.
Suzuki versus da-da-da-da.
I came to MLW for one reason and one reason only. I know what the champion makes, and I know what I need. Now that I'm here, it's time to do what I set out to do when I signed that contract. Beat everyone in my path until I get to the champ. Fatu, I'm coming for that strap, baby.
Calvin Tankman, how are you doing?
Good, man. Pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you with us. There is so much to talk about with you, sir. Obviously, the big stuff with MLW Fight Club, MLW Fight Land, sorry. Also, you rocking it in the Opera Cup as part of Fight Land. You've got a fight against Minoru Suzuki coming up, but the most important thing that we need to start on is, have you seen the new Space Jam yet or not?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
Because I got HBO Max and then realized you had to pay more for it. So I was like, I might as well just go to the theater if I'm going to have to pay more for it. And then I just haven't had the free time. I did go see the Paw Patrol movie, though, with my daughter. She wanted to go see that, but I didn't make it to see Space Jam in time.
But you introduced your daughter to the original Space Jam, which is one of the finer films of a generation. And I don't know about you, but I'm quite nervous at the prospect of watching the new Space Jam because the first one was so much fun.
I feel like you just gotta watch it like with an open mind. It's a lot like wrestling, you know what I mean? Like no matter what you watch, you just gotta watch it with an open mind. I feel like too many people are watching it going into thinking that LeBron's trying to like take over as Jordan. In reality, he's just like filling his hero's shoes. He just wants to do the same thing his hero does. You know what I mean? It's like when you grow up and you see your favorite athletes on the Wheaties box. Nobody goes when you're actually on the Wheaties box 30 years later and says you're just trying to be like that person. You know what I mean?
You're doing your own thing on the Wheaties box.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, you march the beat. Is that on your bucket list? Is a Wheaties box on your bucket list, Calvin?
Box?
Yeah.
No. I want a shoe deal.
Oh, nice.
I want to be a wrestler with a shoe deal. Yeah. I think about that all the time. Like, I've never seen it. So, like, why if you can see, like, you know, Lamar Jackson on the cover of something, why can't you see top row wrestlers selling tennis shoes? Like, you see the Young Bucks putting on, like, Jordans and other people doing that in wrestling. So, like, why can't we get a sneaker deal too?
I really like the idea of rocking a pair of Tankmans. That sounds good.
Yeah.
That like flows nicely.
I grew up a sneakerhead, so like I love shoes. And then when I became a dad, I didn't have the money for the shoes that I used to. Now that we're getting back on track, the collection's about to be grown a little bit.
Which pair of sneakers that you own are a pair of sneakers that you would never part with? If there was a fire in your house and you could save one pair, which would they be?
So I'll tell you my favorite that I have, but they're beat up. But like they just have sentimental value because when they're the cleanest, I've had those since I was a senior in high school. So that tells you. This is going on 10 years of these shoes being around. But I have the Adidas Crazy 8 Nightmare Before Christmas. The Crazy 8s were like Kobe Bryant's first signature shoe, the Adidas, way back in the day. and they had like purple Nightmare Before Christmas editions that were glow in the dark soles, like rubber soles in the bottom. And they had like glow in the dark speckles, and they only came out like right before that movie came out. They re-released them in 2012, and I got a pair. And those were like my favorite shoes. I remember I like nobody knew what they were, and like I was at the mall, and some guy tried to buy them off my feet.
But the main thing we want to talk about is this metaphorical desert island that we're going to send you to, Calvin. And you're allowed to take with you three wrestling matches to watch on a DVD whilst you are there. So let's get going. What would you like your first match to be, Calvin?
Samoa Joe versus Low Ki, Fight Without Honor. I think it was the second Ring of Honor show.
I remember you saying in a previous interview that whilst you were like a WWE kid, Ring of Honor landed at quite a special time for you, didn't it?
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, as like I got older and like I'd start focusing more on football, and like I wasn't paying attention to WWE as much. Like it was like the off season after like my sophomore year, like shortly after the season started, I saw Ring of Honor on HDNet, and so like the first thing I saw was Generico and Steen. Like, it was the episode after, I believe it was Final Battle 2009. So maybe this is my freshman year. I can't remember. But it was when Steen and Generico split, and Steen just, like, murdered him with a chair for 5 minutes. And that's how they opened up the show. And I like, the only thing I knew of Ring of Honor was from, like, PWI when I was a kid. Seeing, like, black and white pictures of, like, Danielson, who I didn't know who he was. But, like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, they're in PWI. This must be cool. I just knew they were the company with the weird, like, turnbuckles. That's what I thought of when I was a kid. So actually getting to watch it, being like, oh, so this is what everybody was talking about. And then getting to see a lot of those wrestlers and talents that I hadn't heard of, and seeing, like, how truly good they were. Like, you know, the Kings of Wrestling, Dark City, the Briscoes, you had, even Tyler Black at that time. That was the first time I'd ever seen him. All those guys. So, like, seeing that then really piqued my interest and got me back into it.
But from all of those matches that you could have picked from Ring of Honor, and you've listed some guys who've had some absolute barnstormers in there, why go with Samoa Joe and Low Ki out of interest?
When the first person to take me out on the road and really teach me beyond, like, moves. Like, I got my beginning. I learned, like, trains, learned the basics. Then I got picked up by a guy named TJ Kemp, who was an old OVW guy, and he kind of taught me the psychology and the whys and the win and the mental aspect of the game. And then the first person to really take me out, like, out of state and teach me, like, this is what you have to do if you want to build your name in other areas and build your name with the indies. He sent me two matches and was like, you need to pick these apart. And the first one he sent me was Samoa Joe versus Low Ki in the Fight Without Honor, and I'd never seen it before. So, like, me seeing that and the way that match was totally different than 99.9% of wrestling matches you're going to see, the style. I've always been a big MMA fan, trained for a little bit, have a wrestling background in school. So, like, seeing that aspect of it really piqued my interest and really, like, fueled my creativity in the ring and helped me, like, unbox some of the things that you see later on. That's kind of why.
You receive these matches then, and this one in particular, and you're told, pick it apart. And you've already picked up, like, those elements of MMA in there, which you mentioned there. Is there a particular moment from this match that without seeing it, you can sort of recall in your head beat for beat, something that really stayed with you?
Really just, so they're slugging it out at the end. And they're both wobbly, and just the finish is them just standing in the middle of the ring swinging until somebody drops. And then just seeing the way the crowd reacts to that, like, everything they did in that match came to that moment where they're telling that story. We've done everything we can. At this point, we're just going to swing until somebody drops because we have nothing left. And so seeing that, like, really, really got the gears turning, and really, like, it fires up that passion in you and gets you creative and saying, like, I want to do something like that. I want to have that type of impact. I want to tell that type of story, you know? So that's really, I think, something that helped mold me.
You've always had a passion for wrestling, at least from what we see of you online. There's always been that passion and drive there for wrestling. But what was it that led you into football? I can't help but feel, Calvin, that you were kind of, and correct me if I'm wrong, you kind of were sort of pushed towards football more than wrestling initially.
Yeah, so my family doctor ran the youth football league. So I would talk about wrestling. My parents knew nothing about wrestling. They were just like, oh, whatever, our kid watches it, that's fine. And like, I would tell people when I grew up I wanted to be a wrestler. And then my doctor would just kind of be like, you know, how are you going to be a wrestler? At that time, people didn't know about training schools. So he was just like, looking out for me, he was like, how do you become a wrestler? Like, your chances of becoming a wrestler are very slim. But you might not make it to the NFL, but you got all the size and you could at least get you, like, get yourself through college playing football. You know what I mean? So he kind of pushed me then. And then, like, I was an extremely large kid. Like, by third grade, I was, like, 5'3 and, like, 150 at 9 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, he put me in the football league. It was supposed to be third and fourth grade, and I was in there second grade. And then by third grade, I'd broken a kid's arm in two places and was just, I don't know, I was big and athletic. Like, you see the way I move now. Like, at that point, they had me playing middle linebacker and being the biggest guy on the field, and I was quick enough to catch everybody. So it just kind of, like, as I got older, I watched a lot of football, and, like, wrestling and football are, like, my two things. Like, I either wanted to be a pro wrestler or play in the NFL. So did all that, when got to high school and started to see that was kind of something that I could accomplish. I was getting some letters from some schools, some interest from, like, Indiana University, Indiana State, some smaller schools. I got some letters from, like, Mizzou wanting me to redshirt. And then messed around, and my grades weren't great, good enough to get in to the NCAA. So I went to a junior college, and then 2 months into college, found out I was going to be a dad. So I dropped out and got a job.
To touch back onto the football thing, just again, before we get into, as you say, they're becoming a dad. The kid whose arm you broke, can you remember the moment it happened? Can you remember what you thought when you did it?
I cried because I felt bad.
Oh, man.
He cried, and I made him. So, like, I'm 9 years old.
Yeah. Like, there's no age to be doing something like that.
Yeah. And, like, it was just a freak accident. Like, coaches get you hyped up and what you're hitting people, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm 9 years old, I'm getting grown men hyped up hitting people, so I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. So I'm just, like, running into people as hard and as fast as I can, which is what you're supposed to do. But, like, so it wasn't really my fault. Like, I hit him, and, like, his leg swept out from under him, so he tried to catch himself with his arm, and his arm bent under him. So, like, it wasn't my fault, but, like, I felt like it was my fault when I was a kid, so I just remember crying.
Because you said before, like, you were a big lad for your age, and you probably would take a lot of that ownership on because you were as well. You talked about becoming a dad, and the way you describe it there, and how suddenly your life changed, that sounds like it was something that was unexpected.
Oh yeah.
What definitely was what was your expectations of fatherhood compared to your reality of fatherhood? So when you found out you were going to be a dad, what were sort of the things going through your head, and compare it to sort of how you feel about it now, all these years on?
Am I ready for it? Like, am I going to be able to, like, financially be able to take care of a child? And, like, the biggest thing was, like, it was happening earlier than I wanted it to, but I always knew, like, I had a great father in my life. And so, like, I just knew that, like, you know, if I could take what he'd done and try and do that to the best of my abilities. And hopefully I could be as good a father as him. So it's just one of those things where I wasn't ready, but I was thankful that I had good role models to try and like mold myself. And it's one of those things where you're just learning. Like I said, I was 18 years old and 3 or 4 months out of high school, graduated high school. And I found out I was going to be a dad. So like fast forward to about a year around the time that I was supposed to, that would have been my year after graduating high school when my daughter was born. So like it thrust me into a whole nother lane there. Like it forced me to grow up. Like I tell people now, like I'm 26, but I feel like an old man. Like I joke around with my friends, I call myself old dad all the time. Because it's like totally different than everybody else. Like everybody else is thinking like, even if you are 26, 27 and you are married, like you're still thinking about like, what are me and my wife going to do? What are we going to have for dinner? Like, you're just thinking about yourselves. Like, at the end of the day, if you want to chase your dreams and like your wife's on board with you, and like, if you guys fail financially, like it's just affecting you guys. Like me, I'm thinking about not only building stuff for myself, but I'm thinking about like, she's 7. I got 9 years to pay for her first car. I got 11 years to pay for college. Like I'm thinking about like more in the future than a lot of people that are young and 25, you know what I mean? Just out of college, you know what I mean? First couple of years in the actual workforce. Like they're just thinking about, you know what I mean? Having fun, maybe finding some girl to hook up with, or if you're in a relationship, you know, maybe buying a house. But nobody's thinking about like saving up enough money to pay for college. You know what I mean? They're still probably thinking about paying off their own college debt. So it's just a crazy ride to be on, but something that I'm glad I did because it helped me mature a lot quicker.
But an amazing ride it has been, and we're going to get to a big part of your ride at the moment with your time in MLW. But let's pick your second wrestling match. What would you like it to be, Calvin?
Ooh, so we're going to go with Ruckus versus Trent Acid from Cage of Death 3. I believe it was Cage of Death 3.
So when did you first see this match? Can you remember?
Ooh. I don't remember when I first saw this match, but I remember a couple of years ago just like going through old Ruckus matches and watching them on YouTube. And I found this one on YouTube and I rewatched it. And I was just like, if you took them out of like the early 2000s indies and dropped them in the indies today, that match would still hold. You know what I mean? Like they're doing things that like you see today. So like, it's still like, man, these guys were so ahead of their time and so good. Like, if they were in our era right now, like, they would have had so many more opportunities than they did at the time, you know?
What's a moment from that match that stays with you?
Man. I don't know if it's like one major moment per se, as much as it is just the like bell to bell athleticism and the awe of what they're doing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like there are some matches that I feel like are all story, and then there's some matches that you watch and you're just like jaw dropped by like the athleticism and the amount and what they're doing in the ring. Like I feel like there's less of that. That like it's just one of those things where you're watching the story of the whole match is just two guys that have had each other's number, and this is it. They've been fighting for years, and this is it. So they know everything that's coming. They know what the other guy has. So it's like a chess game. You know what I mean? You're seeing counters upon counters upon counters. You're seeing like, you know what I mean? Things of that nature. So it's one of those things where it's just like, wow, these guys are next level.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Talk to me about when you signed for Major League Wrestling.
An email from MSL asking if I knew about the product, and if I'd be interested in talking. So I was just really excited because at that point in time, I had little looks from other companies, but nobody was ready to really pull the trigger and give me that opportunity to prove that I could handle that and that I could be that. You know what I mean? It was just one of those things where, yeah, he's good, but he's young and he hasn't had this opportunity, so it's a wild card thing, which I get from a business perspective. You know what I mean? I can understand that. But the fact that Court MLW said, look, we're good, and we believe in you. We believe that if we give you the ball, that you can give you the spotlight, that you can prove to everybody how good you are. And so the fact that they really believed in me and wanted to give me the opportunity really made it easy. And ever since then, they keep giving me opportunities, and I keep knocking them down. So I'm ready, and I'm excited to see what the future holds.
The Opera Cup is in your future. And for those who may not be aware, for Major League Wrestling, like, the Opera Cup is a massive part of the calendar year, isn't it, Calvin?
Yeah, definitely. It's probably next to my world title match. This is one of the biggest moments in my career. And I'd venture to say it might be even bigger, because I feel like nobody really truly thought that I could beat Jacob Fatu, being that I had just come into the company. I knew that I had an opportunity to, and I believe that everybody saw at the end of that match that I could take that title. But it didn't happen. So I think I got kind of a pass then, because there was no expectations on me. And I could say that now that I'm used to the bright lights at MLW, now there are some expectations on me. Now it's time to go prove them right and the haters wrong, and just show what I can do in the Opera Cup against some of the best competitors that they have. You got Matt Cross, you got Davey Richards, you got TJP, you got Lee Moriarty, you got Bobby Fish. Is there anyone I'm forgetting?
You're going to be a part of Fightland, which is coming out of the former ECW arena. And that must feel special in itself, to be performing hallowed ground, a hallowed bingo hall, if you will, for professional wrestling. That must feel so cool.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said earlier, we were talking about Ruckus and Trent Acid. So that's a place where they helped build some of that history after ECW was gone. So growing up on all of that, getting an opportunity to kind of I'll write my little bit of history in that building is something that's special.
MLW Fightland will be available on Fight, and you can obviously keep up via Major League Wrestling socials as well. I want to touch on one more match. We're going to talk about your final match for your DVD, but I also want to ask you about this, because coming up this weekend, away from Major League Wrestling, you're getting in there with Suzuki, with Minoru Suzuki. Yeah. Now, Minoru Suzuki's had had an amazing run here in America, or in America. And how did it come about that you were stepping in there with him, and how are you feeling going into it?
October is a big month for me in MLW and outside of it. Getting the opportunity to really test myself against the top talent. And I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than Minoru Suzuki when you come to accomplishments in this business and what he's done. And the type of legacy he's left behind and still has to write. So being able to get in the ring with him is literally like a dream. He's one of those guys that I watch a lot of too. So really the way it came about is the promoter confirmed with me to make sure that I was going to be there on the first, because we have we have Fight Lab on the second, so he wanted to make sure that I was going to be there. And I said, yeah, why? And he said, well, I'll have a pleasant surprise for you to announce in about 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, not thinking anything of it. And then I come back to my phone, and my phone's blowing up, and I look, and I'm like, oh, geez. All right, here we go.
So you found out at the same time as all of us then?
Yeah, yeah.
What is going through? What bounces around your head with that match on the horizon?
Shit got real, and literally thinking that this is the biggest weekend of my entire life with the Opera Cup and that. Yeah, this is
the small matter of the biggest weekend of Calvin Zeitman's career coming up this weekend.
Yeah, which here's the thing, if I make it to the finals of the Opera Cup, that's four matches in 2 days. So
How do you prepare cardio wise for four matches in 2 days, Calvin? Like, because you're a phenom as it is. Because as you say, you've always been a large performer, but God, you've got some legs on you. It's incredible. And so how do you like? What's some tips, like sort of cardio wise? How do you prep for something like that?
Whatever you're doing, trying to double it,
double it again.
Yeah, essentially, just. Like, even if, like, just pushing yourself, like, wherever you feel like is normal before, you gotta keep going in. And then also, you gotta work on your pacing during matches. That's one thing that I feel like has helped me come into my own is, it's the same thing as, like, MMA or something like that. You want to inflict your will in the cage. If you can keep the guy from getting where he is the best in his fight game, and you can minimize his strength, then you have a good chance of winning. So that's just the key to it. It's a game plan thing. If I can slow them down and make them feel every strike that I give them, then that allows me to keep catching my breath, and I can keep hitting them and knocking the wind out of them. So it's really a game plan thing and just working on that party.
Amazing. Okay, we've got one more match for your DVD, Calvin. So what would you like your third and final match to be for the Desert Island?
Third and final match. It's a Suzuki match. He decided to wear the all-white gear because his opponent wore the all-white gear. They have the sleeper hold on the apron, and he chokes him till he passes out, and he just drops. Do you remember what match that is? I cannot. Who's he wrestling?
I'm trying to remember which one you mean.
Because there's literally... Okay, so there's a spot where... Brothers on the apron, and Suzuki's fighting him, and he grabs him in a sleeper hold. Dude's feet falls off the apron, and he's literally hanging by his throat. And he chokes him until he's lifeless, and then he drops him, and he falls face first on the concrete. And you just hear the crowd like, oh my God, he's freaking dead. And like, just that, and watching Suzuki just smile with this like disgusting smile, like, yes, I killed him, and you all watched, and I'm so proud of it. Like, that's just...
We can't remember the match, but we know it's good to know it because it's a move for you to look out for.
I can't remember the opponent. Yes, watch. So if you do post this on YouTube or wherever you post this, there's going to be, I feel like, 10 people that are going to comment.
The comments will tell us. We could always add it in. We'll leave a space on the DVD. Please
do. I'll send you a DM, and then there'll be like the little, like, you edit out my voice, and there's just that, like, mine was
a robot voice over the top of it. The Zuki versus... I'm going to do it. Do you think I won't? I'm going to do it.
Hell yeah.
The match Kelvin Tankman was talking about was Minoru Suzuki versus Jun Akiyama. It's from Pro Wrestling Noah in 2006. Watch it. Seriously, these guys batter each other, and it's really, really fun.
Kelvin, it's been wonderful to chat to you. Where can people keep up to date with everything that you're doing?
Twitter and Instagram, at Kelvin Tankman, facebook.com/KelvinTankman1. And then... head on over to MLW shop, get you some Kelvin Tankman swag, show up to the show, like, come with a shirt, I'll give you a high five, maybe a hug if we have masks on, like a social distance air hug, we'll talk about it. But yeah, show up to the show, give me some support. I'm gonna need all I can get, because
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.